Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
Am I going to be able to finish well? You know, you start well enough and you continue and you run the race for a while. But when you see others who do not finish well, you say, Lord, I don't want to be like Uzziah. I don't want to let pride go to my head. I don't want to get sloppy. I don't want to get careless. I don't want to get sinful. I don't want to neglect you. You start realizing the importance of saying, I've got to finish well. And you know, the tragedy is there are many people who start out well who do not finish well. And Uzziah is a great example of this.
We sort of go through life without giving much thought to where we are on its timeline. Then one day we realize there's more life behind us than in front of us. Rather than panic, Pastor David exhorts us to take a lesson from the life of King Uzziah. He urges us to consider where we are in Christ and what it might mean for each of us as individuals to finish well. We need to be careful not to allow pride or boredom or some private desire to distract us from the narrow way that we're on. Too many strong starts end in poor finishes. Now, here's Pastor David with today's edition of Enduring Word.
Tonight we begin and hope to get through two of these very exciting chapters in 2 Kings chapter 15 and chapter 16. To me, the remarkable thing about these chapters is, first of all, there are two very interesting kings of Judah presented to us. One named Azariah, also known as Uzziah. The other one known as, he's in chapter 16, known as Ahaz. These two kings are very, very interesting. But not only are we introduced to these two fascinating kings of Judah, again, that's the southern kingdom of the two, but in the northern kingdom of Israel, what we find is a scene of total political and social and, of course, especially spiritual chaos. They're really reaping what they've sown, and these are the closing days of the northern kingdom. Just to sort of give you a reminder ahead of time, we're getting into this the next time we get together in chapter 17 and 18. But the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom of the 12 tribes, they were conquered by the Assyrians more than 100 years before the southern kingdom of Judah fell. And we'll see more about that next week. But anyway, the first king we come to tonight in chapter 15 is actually not a king of Israel, but a king of the southern kingdom of Judah. His name was Azariah. Let's take a look here at verse 1. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, except that the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. The reign of Azariah, now let me again remind you of something I mentioned at the very beginning. He is also called Uzziah. That's the name by which most people know him in the Bible. 2 Chronicles and Isaiah both refer to him as Uzziah. And of course, the name Uzziah and Azariah are very close. They're just variant spellings and pronunciations of the same name. Anyway, his reign was largely characterized by the good that he did in the sight of the Lord. And his goodness and godliness was rewarded with a long reign of 52 years. Now, you have to think about this. That's a very long time for any king to reign, isn't it? 52 years he reigned over the kingdom of Judah. But Azariah came to the throne in a very difficult era. You see, the very tragic events that brought King Amaziah's reign to an end meant that Jerusalem was completely in disarray, and a very significant section of its protective wall was destroyed. The temple and the palace were in low repair and, in fact, robbed a bit, and many inhabitants of Jerusalem had been taken away as hostages to Israel. But yet, at this very low point in the history of Judah, God raised up this great king known as Azariah. And 2 Chronicles chapter 26 tells us much more about his successful reign. I'm just going to summarize some of the things we learned from 2 Chronicles 26. It tells us that Azariah, or Uzziah, that he began his reign when he was only 16 years old, and that he reigned during the ministry of Zechariah the prophet. It tells us that he defeated the Philistines and took many of their cities, and he also kept the neighboring group of the Ammonites under tribute to him. It tells us that he was internationally famous as a strong king, and that he was a very ambitious builder and very skilled in agriculture. He gave very special attention to these practical things for the economy and the social welfare of the southern kingdom of Judah. But he also built up and organized the army, and he introduced several new items of military technology. You can find all of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And so he was a man of great accomplishment, great godliness, although we do find this statement made of him in verse 4, and don't we find this to be a familiar statement by this time of the kings of Judah, where it says, except that the high places were not removed. As with his forefather Joash and with his father Amaziah, the reforms of Azariah did not reach so far as to remove these traditional places of sacrifice to the Lord. You see, God had commanded, God had instructed all the people of God, the 12 tribes. At this time, we're talking about the southern kingdom of Judah. But God had instructed his people under the law of Moses that they were to bring sacrifice only to the temple or to the tabernacle, that they weren't to make their own private altars and conduct their own private sacrifices. But nevertheless, the people persisted in this sin, and the very few were the kings who challenged it. And so this was an apparent compromise, and it was, you know, allowed by God. God didn't bring great judgment upon him, but it showed that his reforms were not as thorough as they could have or should have been. But now we come to verse 5. It says, then the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death. So he dwelt in an isolated house. Now, we stick right there. We're just reading this from 2 Kings. We go, what's going on here? You have this king, he's a good king, and all of a sudden God strikes him with leprosy. It seems like God's dealing with this man very harshly. Again, we would have to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 to learn more about the downfall of Azariah. 2 Chronicles 26, especially at verse 15, tells us this about Azariah. It says that he was marvelously helped till he became strong. And then the chronicler goes on to describe this. He says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. We're also told in 2 Chronicles that the priest tried to stop him, but the king insisted on forcing his way into the temple to offer incense. And in this, Azariah violated what had become an important general principle in God's dealing with Israel, that no king should be a priest, and that the offices of prophet, priest, and king should not be combined into one man until the Messiah, who fulfilled all three offices in one. Now, again, we take a fascinating look at this man Uzziah, who was a man of godliness and a blessed long reign and a prosperous reign and a militarily secure reign. And it was all good for him up until the point when his heart was lifted up with pride. And then he stepped into an area that he had no business stepping into. And that was assuming the role of a priest when God had commanded him to merely be a king. And when he went into the temple, the priest tried to stop him, but he would not be stopped. He barged in there to offer incense, and God struck him with leprosy right at that moment. Therefore, as it tells us here in verses 5 and 6, it says, so he dwelt in an isolated house. Azariah came into the temple as an arrogant king, but he left. Indeed, 2 Chronicles 26 tells us that he hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. He left as a humbled leper. Isn't this amazing? Can't you just picture it in your mind? The proud, arrogant king walking into the temple. He's going to offer incense. You know, for years he had been watching the priest do this, and now he wanted to do it. And why shouldn't he do it? He was the king. He was in charge. Look at his success. Look at the honor. Look at how God had blessed him. Surely he could do these things. If the priest could do it, he could do it. And so he walks in with all this pride and this arrogance. And as he comes in into the temple, the priests try to stop him. They beg him to stop him. And he comes in with all this arrogance until, bam, God strikes him with leprosy. And then it tells us in 2 Chronicles 26 that he hurried to get out. He comes in with pride and arrogance. He runs out under the hand of God's judgment. And so it tells us here, going on in verse 5, it says, "And Jotham the king's son was over the royal house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Azariah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jotham his son reigned in his place." You see, the death of Azariah, again also known as Uzziah, it contributed to the call of the prophet Isaiah. Do you remember that line from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1? "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne." Now again, we have to think about this reign of Uzziah. He began his reign when he was only 16 years old. And then he reigned for 52 years. And overall, he was a good and a strong king who led Judah to many military victories, and he was an energetic builder and planner. Despite all this, Azariah had a tragic, tragic end. And it reminds us of something, doesn't it? Doesn't it remind us of the great importance of finishing well? Now, I know that when you speak to younger people, it doesn't have much of a resonance to talk about finishing well. They're rightly more concerned with starting well. But when you start getting up a few years, and I suppose I count myself somewhere in that neighborhood about now, you start thinking, am I going to be able to finish well? You know, you start well enough and you continue and you run the race for a while. But when you see others who do not finish well, you say, "Lord, I don't want to be like Uzziah. I don't want to let pride go to my head. I don't want to get sloppy. I don't want to get careless. I don't want to get sinful. I don't want to neglect you." You start realizing the importance of saying, "I've got to finish well." And you know, the tragedy is there are many people who start out well who do not finish well, and Uzziah is a great example of this. Now, if you're thinking of this in sort of a movie sense, the camera pulls away from the kingdom of Judah in the south, and now starting with verse 8 of chapter 15, it comes over northward to the kingdom of Israel, those 10 northern tribes under the kingdom of Israel. And I'll tell you the general heading of the next section that we're going to look at here in chapter 15, it's of utter chaos. Just take a look at it here, starting now at verse 8, which will describe for us the short and evil reign of Zechariah. It says, "In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reigned over Israel in Samaria 6 months. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. And he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. Then Shallum the son of Jabesh conspired against him and struck and killed him in front of the people, and he reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. This was the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, 'Your son shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation.' And so it was." Now, this man, Zechariah the son of Jeroboam, he is the fourth member of the dynasty of Jehu. We remember Jehu from our study several weeks ago, this man who came and was raised up by God as an instrument of God to bring his judgment against the house of Omri, of whom the most notorious king was King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And when he brought judgment against the house of Omri, Jehu had the opportunity to be blessed and anointed and to have a secure dynasty over the northern kingdom of Israel. But Jehu sinned. Jehu turned his back on the God who called him, and God swore to Jehu that his dynasty would only last to the fourth generation, and Zechariah was the fourth. I wonder if Zechariah knew that promise. I wonder if he thought about it. I wonder if he mocked it. I wonder if he was afraid of it. I don't really know. But the reign of Zechariah was both short and wicked. And he continued in that state-sponsored idolatry that was begun by his father and his forefathers before him. And then notice how he died. It tells us right there in verse 10. It says, "And Shallum, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and struck him and killed him in front of the people, and he reigned in his place." Zechariah was so despised by his own people that Shallum was able to do this. And this was the end of the dynasty of Jehu, which began with such potential, but ended, just as God had foretold it, in great darkness. And so this is, again, amazing. I just want to give you a preview here of the next 43 years in the kingdom of Israel, okay? In the next 43 years, you're going to have 6 different kings come and go in rapid succession in the northern kingdom of Israel. Well, let's take a look at the next one. If the reign of Zechariah was brief, look at the reign of Shallum in verse 13. Shallum, the son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned a full month in Samaria. For Menahem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tizrah and came to Samaria and struck Shallum, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria and killed him. And he reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Shallum and the conspiracy which he led, indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Then from Tizrah, Menahem attacked Tifshah and all who were there and its territory, because they did not surrender, therefore he attacked it. All the women who were there he ripped open. Well, Shallum, he only reigned for a month. At least the dynasty of Jehu lasted 4 generations. The dynasty of Shallum lasted 4 weeks. And it just tells us that the rest of the acts of Shallum, well, he has no moral comment to make on the very brief reign of Shallum. Perhaps he didn't show himself to be good or bad in the very short reign that he had, but the violence that marked his rise to power and his fall from power shows that he did not reign with the blessing of God. And then we see the violence that follows in this horrible period of Israel's history where Menahem attacked Tifshah, and because they did not surrender, he attacked it, and all the women who were there with child, he ripped open. This horrible brutality was commanded by Menahem, who became the next king of Israel. This shows us the depths of brutality and ungodliness of the times. I mean, when a man this violent, this brutal, this ungodly gets lifted up to be the next king of Israel, you know how wicked the times are. So, verse 17, the summary of the reign of Menahem. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem, the son of Gadi, became king over Israel and reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not depart all his day from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. Pul, king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver that his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his control. And Menahem exacted the money from Israel, from the very wealthy, from each man 50 shekels of silver to give the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and did not stay there in the land. And the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Menahem rested with his fathers. Then Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his place. So Menahem, the son of Gadi, became king over Israel. And his reign was typical in the kings of Israel in that it was both evil and it was a continuation of the state-sponsored idolatry of Jeroboam. Now again, let's remind ourselves, what's happening in the southern kingdom of Judah at this time? Well, at this time, it's the general godly and good reign of Uzziah, right? These are the 52 years of Uzziah's reign, while in the northern kingdom of Israel, it's sort of like Rent-a-King or King of the Month almost. They're going through the kings so quickly here. But we see what else is going on in the geopolitical situation at the time. The Assyrian Empire is coming up to its full strength, and it's exercising its influence over all that part of the world. Now, the southern kingdom of Judah is too strong and too blessed by God to be subjugated to the Assyrian Empire. But you see that the Assyrian Empire is exercising its influence over the northern kingdom of Israel, so much so that King Menahem, he buys off the king of Assyria, and he gives him great tribute, great money. He assesses a special tax upon the people of the land to pay off the king of Assyria so that he will not attack them and conquer them. So for all essential purposes at this time, the northern kingdom of Israel is not truly an independent kingdom at this time. It's under subjugation or under tribute to the empire of Syria. Well, he reigned 10 years, and then it says his son Pekahiah reigned in his place, starting here at verse 23. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. Then Pekah, the son of Remaliah, an officer of his, conspired against him and killed him in Samaria in the citadel of the king's house, along with Argob and Ariah. And with him were 50 men of Gilead. He killed him and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So the previous two kings before Menahem did not reign successfully enough to pass the kingdom on to a son or to another dynastic descendant. But at least Menahem reigned well enough and long enough to pass the kingdom on to his son, Pekahiah. But his son was not a good man. It says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. This is a familiar refrain. You know how you like when you sing a song and you always come back to the chorus? This is the chorus of the song of the northern kingdom of Israel. They always continued in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that man who initially split the kingdom in two and set up the golden calves both in Dan and was it Bethel, the other place? I believe it was. And he commanded the people of the northern kingdom of Israel not to go to Jerusalem, but to worship at these shrines, which, as we've discussed so many times before, was actually not the worship of a false god, but it was the false worship of the true God. And then what happened at the end of this man? Well, he was assassinated by this man, Pekah. It says that he killed him and reigned in his place. The blessing of God was obviously not upon Pekahiah, whose reign ended with assassination after only 2 years. This was the end of another brief dynasty and the start of a new dynasty, the dynasty of Pekah, which we begin in verse 27. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 20 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, there's our chorus again, repeating all the time, who had made Israel sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and took Eion, Abel-Beth-Maacha, Genoa, Kadesh, Hazor, Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. Do you understand what just God said there? You see, the northern kingdom of Israel was essentially a client kingdom of the Assyrian Empire, you know, a tributary kingdom, a subject kingdom. But now the king of Assyria didn't even like that. He said, well, you know, I like this piece of land around Galilee. Let's just come and take a great big chunk of it. And that's what he did. Now, continuing on, it says, then Hoshea, the son of Elah, led a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and struck and killed him. So he reigned in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. Now the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. You know, we read about king after king after king ruling over this northern kingdom. It's sort of like a revolving door, right? They come and go, they come and go. There's no common thread between them. Different kings, different dynasties. But you know the one common thread between them all? It says, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, it was not one consistent dynasty. Like in the southern kingdom of Judah, you had the dynasty of David. It was the throne of David. It was all of his descendants. But dynasties came and go in the northern kingdom. If there was any one common dynasty that reigned in the northern kingdom, it was the dynasty of evil. It was the dynasty of rebellion against God. Each was evil and each continued in the state-sponsored idolatry in Israel. And so it was so bad that eventually Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, came and took. This Assyrian king, unlike in the days of Menahem, would not be paid off by the king of Israel. He came and took some of the best land of the kingdom of Israel, including much of the northern part of the kingdom.
For many of us, studying the Bible is a part of our everyday lives. There seems to always be those sections of Scripture that are difficult to understand. What did Jesus really mean when he said, "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you"? Was Jesus literally telling us to disfigure our bodies? Of course not. We know that's not true. So what does it mean? This is where God has used men like Pastor David Guzik in the writing of commentaries. Pastor David has written numerous commentaries throughout the Bible. In fact, you can find commentary on the entire New Testament and most of the Old Testament at enduringword.com. These commentaries are available digitally at the website and even in mobile format. Concise thoughts about the history, context, and author make these commentaries a valuable resource as you seek to know Jesus more. We encourage you to log on to enduringword.com and select the book and chapter you're currently studying. Or you can purchase a copy of Pastor David's commentary for your Kindle or even a printed copy. Simply log on to enduringword.com and select books from the main menu. Another great option from Pastor David is his book, Standing in Grace. This book details the fact that those who belong to him are not only saved by grace, they stand in grace. Again, for all these wonderful resources and more, log on to enduringword.com. Well, that concludes our time together today. Please place a marker in your Bibles and make plans to join us again for the next edition of Enduring Word Radio.